This is the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, the president unveiled a deal with Iran over the future of their nuclear program. But is it a good deal? Governor Mike Huckabee is here with that. Also, Planned Parenthood caught on video in yet another major scandal. This time, it involves trafficking in the body parts of aborted babies. Could this be the final straw that brings an end to the taxpayer funding of this billion-dollar-plus organization? Congresswoman Martha Roby of Alabama is here with that answer. Let me encourage you, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics and our guests. You can also find out information about the upcoming Values Voter Summit here in Washington, D.C., September the 25th through the 27th, an event you will not want to miss. We're going to have most, if not all, of the GOP presidential candidates will be there. We'll have conservative and Republican leaders will be there. And I hope you will be there as well. Go to TonyPerkins.com and you can find out more. By the way, if you're on Twitter, you can follow me at T. Perkins on Twitter to keep up with what's happening here in Washington, D.C. Well, I am sure that you have heard about the deal that the Obama administration has negotiated with Iran over the future of their nuclear program. Now, as you know, Iran has been a longtime adversary of the United States. And this story has completely permeated the news cycle this week. The president announced to the American people that a deal had been reached with Iran in regards to their nuclear program. In a speech, the president said in part, quote, "This deal is not built on trust. It's built on verification." Of course, that was a spin on President Ronald Reagan's often quoted trust but verify. But with four Americans still imprisoned in Iran, Iran refusing to recognize the right of Israel to exist, and the fact that they refuse as a country to denounce state-sponsored terrorism, is this a good deal for America and for our allies in that region? Joining me on this weekend edition of Washington Watch is our good friend, Governor Mike Huckabee. Governor, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. Great to be back. A lot to talk about, especially with this Iranian deal that I cannot imagine that the president could have done anything more dangerous for the world than to believe that the Iranians can be trusted with nuclear material. Tony, it's like saying that a kid in your neighborhood has been shooting up the windows with a BB gun. Let's give him a shotgun and see if maybe he'll behave better.
It's hard to really wrap your mind around what the president is setting in progress here. I had the Israeli ambassador Ron Dermer on the program earlier this week, and he reiterated what the prime minister Benjamin Netanyahu had said, that this is a historically bad deal, and it is going to put Iran on a path, a guaranteed path to nuclear weapons. And the thing he pointed out, Governor, was that, you know, instead of stopping the proliferation of nuclear weapons, this is going to cause all the neighboring countries to get a jump start on Iran to make sure that at the end of this 10-year period, they have the weapons that can counter what Iran will have.
Well, I think this may finally vindicate Chamberlain as one of the most naive people ever to lead a country. One of the things that I noticed, and I read through all 159 painful pages of this deal, but it's predicated upon two things. One, you have to trust Obama, and two, you have to trust the Iranians. And I have to be blunt with you, I don't trust either Obama or the Iranians, because neither one have proven to be very trustworthy when it comes to meaning what they say and saying what they mean.
Yes.
So if we don't have confidence in the integrity of this president's promises, or of the Iranians, and there's no reason we would, because they've never kept an agreement, ever, and they've continued to hold Americans hostage, they've murdered Americans, they've kidnapped Americans, they've funded terrorists with Hamas and Hezbollah, they've funded a war, even though the sanctions were on, we just basically wrote them a check for $120 to $150 billion, so they'll really have some money to fund not only their nuclear program, but other weaponry that they can use against Israel, and presumably for any terrorist organization, and those guns may be pointed at Americans.
Governor Huckabee, let me ask you about, you mentioned the Americans, you know, hostage Americans killed. We have four Americans imprisoned, one of them being Pastor Saeed Abedini. There's no evidence. Now, I'm going to put this in this context. We don't know. Maybe there was some side conversations that took place, but there's no evidence to suggest that that was a focal point of these negotiations. The president did not mention those four Americans when he made his statement to the nation earlier this week. I have a hard time thinking that a country such as ours that puts such a high price on freedom and individuals, that we would enter into an agreement, as you've just described, with this country and not first secure the release of these four Americans.
Well, that should have been a prerequisite to even sitting down. We should have said, here's our deal. If you don't meet some conditions, number one, release those Americans. Number two, government officials have to stop chanting death to America. And number three, you have to openly say that you're no longer going to make it your commitment to wipe Israel off the face of the map.
Right.
Now, I'm doubtful that Iran would have made any of those concessions, which is all the more reason we should have never sat down and believed that they were going to make nice. If you continue to threaten an entire nation's existence, you continue to vow death to the partner with whom you're trying to negotiate, and you won't even, as an act of good faith, give up four individuals who are political prisoners, there's no reason to believe that you're going to really let the inspectors come in and make sure that everything's being done in a hunky-dory way. I mean, it's just, it's beyond naivete. It's utterly, recklessly dangerous.
You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along this weekend. My guest in the first segment, Governor Mike Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas. We're discussing the deal that the president has unveiled that has been months in the making with Iran over their nuclear program. Governor, this deal, in a kind of a upside-down process, now goes to Congress where they can basically give it an up or down, but the president really is in the driver's seat here. What should be Congress's response at this point?
Well, Congress should make it very clear that this deal is an unacceptable one. I know the president's going to put an enormous pressure on them and say that if we walk away from this, we're not just walking away from the Iranians, we're walking away from the EU. Well, so what? We have a sovereign obligation to the people of the United States, not to members of the EU, not to Russia, not to Iran. And I would love for the GOP Congress to, at this point, finally do something to show that they're going to be working for the American people and not capitulating to another power grab of this president. If the GOP in any way goes squeamish on this and doesn't do everything possible to stop this from coming through, they all ought to be frog-marched right out of D.C. because there's no point in them being there.
Governor Huckabee, when we look at this deal, obviously our first, the chief executive, the first priority should be for the interest of America, that America is safe, secure. But secondarily, our interest should always be about our strategic allies, and chief among them in this region of the world is Israel. Now, Israel has not been muted one bit in their criticism of this deal. In fact, they've been very outspoken. Should that not factor in to Congress's consideration of this?
Well, I do think all of it should be factored in. I'm just convinced, though, that what the president has done, he's made a false comparison, and he said there's only two options. It's either war or this deal. And I'm so tired of the president pretending that we're first graders and that we can't think beyond his ability to think that there are two options. Actually, there's a third, Tony, the one that he should have taken, which is that we will increase the sanctions. We will increase the pressure on Iran. And if they really are serious about wanting to be a responsible member of the family of the world, then they will do so when they behave better. We're rewarding their bad behavior. Nobody raises children like that. No one trains dogs like that. Why on earth would we conduct diplomacy like that when we are rewarding a terrorist state, giving them more resources to continue terrorism? It's just beyond me to understand that.
Like you said earlier, they made reference to this, that immediately they're going to receive billions of dollars that have been frozen in the assets that here in the United States and elsewhere. That's going to flow to them immediately. Once these, and it is an escalated release of these sanctions, but as those sanctions are released, if we find out that, in fact, they did not abide by the agreement, which, as you pointed out earlier, there's no reason to think that they would, what leverage do we have at that point?
Well, the president keeps talking about this snapback provision. And he presumes that once they get a bomb, then we can say, okay, now we're going to put the sanctions back. Well, first of all, that would require the participation of the European nations, which it's doubtful that, they would be willing to do. In the meantime, you're going to see a proliferation of nuclear capacity among many of the members of the Gulf right. states. One of the things that's been remarkable about this process, it has done something I didn't think could happen. It has driven the Israelis closer into a relationship with the Egyptians, Jordanians, Kuwaitis, Saudis, and the Emirates than it now has with the United States. Because they all live in that neighborhood, they know full well the danger that they face because of this deal that the president has made. It seems like Obama and, of course, the Europeans, naive as they are the ones who think that we can just go willy-nilly into an agreement with terrorists and thugs, and somehow they're going to behave better because we gave them more money. When has a terrorist, a thug, a criminal ever behaved better when you treated them with this sense of, here, we're going to give you more money, more freedom, that way that when you go out and hurt us, you'll have more resources with which to do it.
Which is exactly what it does. It just better enables them to carry out their deeds. Governor, the point to the sanctions, though, when the snapback provision to address that one issue, what has made these sanctions successful is the cumulative effect over the years. That's not going to happen overnight when you put those sanctions back in place.
Well, it isn't. And when you read through the 159-page document, there are several dozen pages that are nothing more than listing all of the banks, organizations, businesses with whom now the Iranians can conduct business and with whom their funds can be released. And it is a stunningly long list, which gives you some indication of the breadth of difficulty that the sanctions have posed for the Iranians. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to let them not only do more in development of their oil energy, but sell it. What we should have been doing is saying, and not only are you not going to sell oil, but we're going to ramp up the exploration, exploitation, and exportation of American oil, gas, and coal. We're going to become the United States. We're going to become the world's largest exporter. We will service Europe, Africa, and Asia. We will bankrupt the Russians, the Saudis, and the Iranians. We will disrupt the bad actors in the world, and we will bring millions of jobs to America. We'll bring prosperity to America. And we'll bring a greater level of security, stability, and peace to the rest of the world by no longer letting these energy-rich but morality-poor nations use their presence of energy as a way to keep funding terrorism and to keep the Europeans and the others from even holding them accountable.
Mm. Well, Governor, let's hope the Congress takes your lead on this and draws a very clear line and holds the president accountable to what's in the best interest of Americans. Governor, thanks for being with us this weekend.
Tony, thank you. Great to talk to you.
All right, Governor Mike Huckabee. To find out more about what the governor is up to, I have some idea what he's up to, but you might want to find out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. Again, the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, don't go away. Still to come, more breaking news this week with yet another scandal involving Planned Parenthood. Unbelievable. The organization, this billion-dollar organization, trafficking in the body parts of aborted babies. Congressman Martha Roby is here to talk about what Congress may do next. Don't go away. We're back with more of the weekend edition of Washington Watch right after this. On September 25th through the 27th, plan to be at this year's Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. to stand alongside thousands of like-minded Americans who want to see our country return to the founding principles of faith, family, and freedom. Confirmed and invited speakers include Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, the Benham Brothers, Dr. Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, Franklin Graham, Megyn Kelly, Governors Bobby Jindal, Scott Walker, Mary Fallon, Jeb Bush, and Sam Brownback. Senators Ted Cruz, Tim Scott, Marco Rubio, and Rand Paul, Representative Paul Ryan, and many more. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, life and marriage, national security, government overreach, and much more. Register before May 1st for just $99 at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. this September. Stand with us to preserve this great nation. Values Voter Summit is sponsored by FRC Action, AFA Action, American Values, Liberty Institute, Ohio Christian University, and Family Research Council. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us this weekend. A lot of breaking news this week, as we were just talking about with Governor Huckabee, about the Iran deal that the president has negotiated. If you want to find out more about what the what Governor Huckabee has to say, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. By the way, while you're there, be sure and sign up for my daily update. Comes out Monday through Friday. You can sign up right there at the website. And also, more information about the Values Voter Summit coming up in September here in Washington, D.C. Well, earlier this week, I interviewed David Dalyden about the, and he's from the Center for Medical Progress, about the undercover video that revealed Planned Parenthood's trafficking in body parts of aborted babies. Now, if you didn't hear that interview, it's worth listening to. It's not that long. You can go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. We've got it posted up there because this is outrageous, and this story needs to be spread far and wide. Now, this undercover video, and this is all in their own words. This is not, there's no commentary. It's simply Planned Parenthood officials. This shows that one of Planned Parenthood's senior directors, medical directors, casually talking over food and drinks about how the abortion giant harvests the organs, like the lungs and livers of babies killed in abortions, and then sells them. I mean, this is unbelievable. It's shocking that this would be happening in the United States of America. You can actually see the video for yourself at TonyPerkins.com. Well, joining me on this weekend edition is Congresswoman Martha Roby of the state of Alabama. She has been a longtime advocate for getting taxpayers out of the business of funding organizations like Planned Parenthood. She has been a strong voice for the voiceless on Capitol Hill, and it's a privilege to welcome her here to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Congresswoman, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let me start with this question. Given what we've seen here, this is not the first time that Planned Parenthood has been caught in a videotaped scandal. There's been other things, underage abortions, covering up for sexual abuse and sex trafficking. But this is shocking. And so cavalier in their discussion of the trafficking of body parts, is Congress finally ready to get taxpayers out of funding organizations like Planned Parenthood?
Well, I certainly hope so. This is a deplorable organization, and I appreciate you encouraging your listeners to watch the video. I, too, would encourage you to do so. It's very difficult to watch because of the callousness with which this woman talks about the way that they perform the abortion so as to crush certain sides of the baby so as to preserve the organs so that Planned Parenthood can then profit from this. As a country, this is a moment where we have to pause and say, is this who we are?
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly hope that my colleagues will be motivated to vote in favor of the bill that Diane Black from Tennessee and I have that defunds Planned Parenthood.
Well, I know I've spoken to Republican leadership this week, and they have announced investigations. I've talked to some of the committee chairmen who have launched and said they're going to hold investigations and hearings into Planned Parenthood, and we support that. We called for it. We're grateful that they've responded that way. But Congresswoman Roby, you know that there's been a lot of hearings on Capitol Hill in the last 6.5 years, and they've not led to a lot. We're also calling for Congress to implement immediately a moratorium on the funding of Planned Parenthood pending the outcome of these investigations.
Right. Well, first of all, certainly I would support that as well. I, too, have called on leadership to investigate this and the committee chairman. I'm grateful that they responded as quickly as they did and publicly said that Congress would take an oversight position on this matter. I think we got to go further than that, though, and I've called for a criminal investigation. I think that this organization, that there are legalities here that they have crossed a clear line, and facts are stubborn, And it's my hope that the facts will become very clear, that we will have a very clear understanding of what the law is currently and what they did to violate that. And then Congress can, have a debate on what we as a legislative body should do as it relates to any potential new legislation. But I agree with you on the funding of Planned Parenthood. Abortion is abhorrent to so many Americans, and no one should have to have their tax dollars go to fund an organization that not only performs abortions, millions of them, but harvests and traffics the baby's organs.
It's almost unspeakable.
It really is.
You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm thankful to have you along this weekend. I'm talking with Congresswoman Martha Roby of Alabama. And I just want to put this in context. A lot of times people are critical because politicians jump on things when they're in the news. I just wanted to remind our listeners that actually Congresswoman Roby and Congresswoman Diane Black, who's another frequent guest on this program, going back to 2011, shortly after Congresswoman Roby joined Congress, they were pushing to defund Planned Parenthood. So this is not new. But I want to go back to something you said about the criminal prosecution, because it does appear, based on the evidence, that they have clearly crossed a line into illegal activity. Now, we don't know that, but that's what the investigation will show, but there should be an investigation. But we're talking about the Obama administration doing the investigation, and the president has actually been a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood. In fact, going back to your efforts to defund Planned Parenthood, that led to a showdown in the continuing resolution, the funding of government, between the Republicans and the president. And the president was willing to shut down the government to ensure Planned Parenthood continued to get funding.
Yeah, and I think, this is how I view it. Now that this video has become, people are aware of what's going on, my understanding is that the organization that conducted this sting is going to be releasing additional videos. It makes the issue, those who are for Planned Parenthood, it makes their position indefensible. And I think that public outcry will play a huge role in whether or not there would be a positive outcome that would lead to, exposing the criminal activities that we believe, based on what we know now, and exposure of this organization. So, I agree with you. It's very frustrating from where I sit, as we, do try to have oversight capacity in Congress. We run up against a wall every time with this administration. But that doesn't mean, just because that's been what has happened in the over the past 5 years that I've been in Congress, that doesn't mean that we don't forge ahead with this. This is
absolutely
too important of an issue just to throw our hands up and say Obama's, not going to participate in this because he loves Planned Parenthood. We ought to say Obama loves Planned Parenthood, and look at what this organization is.
Absolutely.
Look at what this organization does. Look at how this organization uses their funds. And this is an organization that touts themselves as being, out there, out front for women's health. Well, right. If their focus is women's health, then why are they harvesting and trafficking babies' organs? And, oh, by the way, this is an organization that also believes that baby isn't life, but apparently its organs are of value. I mean, it's disgusting.
Well, also, Congresswoman, as you probably know, in the video, as it describes how these parts are, or these bodies' parts are harvested and the procedure they go through, actually puts the woman at greater risk because of the process they have to go through to preserve these body parts. So the caring about women, it's hard to suggest that if you know what they're describing on
this. This organization cares about profit.
That's right.
That's what this organization cares about. And it's so callous, and their disrespect for life is just breathtaking.
And folks, you can help Congresswoman Martha Roby out, as well as her colleagues that want to see an end to this. The website, TonyPerkins.com, we have a petition that's going to the Republican leadership, commending them for having the hearings, but also calling on them for a moratorium on the funding of organizations like this, or Planned Parenthood in particular, because this evidence is overwhelming that they have crossed the line into illegal and criminal activity. And Congresswoman, I just want to mention this about the president not only fundraising for Planned Parenthood, but receiving, being the beneficiary of their campaign contributions, and many on the other, on the Democratic side, who defend, not all, but many who defend Planned Parenthood also received the benefits of their political largesse. And now you have to wonder, did the profits that they're giving away in these political contributions come from the sale of body parts? I mean,
I mean, great question, and one that should have to be answered.
Absolutely. Congresswoman, again, I want to thank you for your leadership on Capitol Hill, for standing up from day one for the unborn and continuing to do so even when you have to go up against your own party. So thank you.
Well, let me just say, I count it as one of the greatest privileges to be a voice for these babies that don't have a voice, and to be able to have the responsibility to advocate on their behalf is truly one of the greatest privileges of my life. And so I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today. And, you know, we'll continue this conversation, and you know, hopefully we'll be successful in effectively shutting Planned Parenthood down.
Well, we're going to stand with you. We're going to get folks across the country to do the same. So thank you so much for being with us today, and have a great weekend.
You as well. Thank you.
All right. That was Congresswoman Martha Roby from Alabama. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And you know, occasionally I do this. Encourage folks that take these stands, unapologetic stands for what is right and what is true. And it comes at a price. You know, especially when you're out front so much, people, you know, you get a lot of pressure from your colleagues, leadership, and there's even a spiritual element, a spiritual battle that we're engaged in that I talk about often. So if you get a chance, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Sign that petition. I know there's a lot of activities on that website this weekend. Sign that petition, but also follow the links over and send a note to Martha and say, hey, thanks. Thanks for standing firm and for speaking out for those that have no voice. Well, folks, thanks so much for being with us this weekend. Great to have you with us. Again, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com, and I hope you'll be back again with us next week. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians chapter 6, when he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234.